This is the Kestrel Country Podcast, where we discuss the people, places, and events all around Kestrel Country. We're doing a quick intro here for our next mini series. So I've got Jen Bunch with me, and we had the privilege of talking to Sarah Mortimer about Airbnbs and specifically cleaning the Airbnbs.
Yep.
Super fun. With the new year, we wanted to talk about cleaning.
Yeah. Everyone wants a fresh start right now.
A really fresh start.
We're all in our homes so much.
Yes. And after Christmas, it's, you know, you get excited to, well, I get excited to put away all the Christmas.
Yeah. And purge while you're at it.
And purge and get everything light and fresh and bright. Mm-hmm. But in Moscow, spring has not yet arrived.
No.
So
it won't for a while.
It won't for a while. And you have a great opportunity to make everything as bright and cheerful indoors.
Yes.
So Sarah is great and she has a wonderful sense of style. Yeah. And so
she runs a beautiful home.
A beautiful
and
home.
And Airbnb.
Oh, absolutely. So it kind of bled over from cleaning into organization too. And
yeah. Yeah.
Fun things that way. So hopefully we'll be getting some more ladies on here to talk cleaning and Airbnbs and tips like that for you this spring. But anyways, we want to give you a listen and enjoy what Sarah has to say.
Oh, I'd love to talk about cleaning. Did you see me sit up straight?
Uh-huh.
I sure did. But I'll have you introduce yourself, Sarah, and give a little bit of background information.
Okay. Well, my name is Sarah Mortimer. I've lived in the Palouse since 2001. And came originally so my husband could go to WSU. He was a student. It was meant to be a temporary. We were going to be here 5 years.
I love how many people say that.
And we had it all planned out, and we bought an old fixer-upper, like a 120-year-old house in Colfax, and launched into remodeling that. I taught school in Colfax High School. I taught English. And then I'll skip a lot of years. We ended up staying, having our family here, had 3 children. And eventually moved over to Moscow. My husband, when he graduated, started Carlton Builders. So that's our company, our construction company. And I have been basically a stay-at-home mom and dabbled in a lot of other things along the way. And now I have 3 kids that are all teenagers. And and I have an Airbnb on my property. And I just support my husband in his work. And that's about it. Yeah.
So we invited Sarah on. She could talk about a lot of different things, but we wanted to talk specifically about Airbnbs and because it's January, specifically about cleaning, which might bleed over into organization because we were talking about that already.
They go hand in hand too.
They really do go hand in hand.
Yep. I think we should have January be like National Month, which I think it already is a little
for.
Just no more parties.
Yes.
No more. We're just going to dig in and clean our houses, which I think a lot of people are already doing. I think naturally that's what we do.
Cluttering.
You do. Yeah. You want everything to be fresh and organized for the year and getting off to the right, you know, the right start, which is, then I feel like by the time you feel like, okay, my brain's back in February and here we are in November.
Uh-huh.
That's how I usually have. So it's always a struggle and it's, you know, we're human, so it's never going to be perfect.
And interestingly, usually I get the bug like January 1.
Yeah.
Well, maybe even that week. I hear people calling it gap week, the week in between Christmas and New Year's. And that's a lot of the time when I'm decluttering and doing a lot of it. But I got it early this year. So like the 15th of December, I walked out into my garage and I went, I could get rid of a lot of these things. And then I would have somewhere to put all the empty boxes, you know, after. So I did a little bit of it before Christmas, and that was kind of life-changing.
Because then all your Christmas stuff had a spot to go.
And for us, the Amazon pile of boxes is the one that gets huge. So, I was able to get that out of the way and then put more out there.
I love it. I know. Add more to it.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about your Airbnb. When did you launch the Airbnb?
Interestingly, right March of 2020.
Oh, you did?
Well, to be fair, I did what I call a soft opening September of 2019.
Okay.
But we do live on a hill with a kind of a crazy driveway. And that first season, I wasn't really sure how I was going to handle that with guests with our winter weather here in Moscow. So what I did is I left it open for the month of September and October. I shut it down November, December, January, February. And then I had planned, I'd reopen the calendar for March of 2020. And so my very first day dates were going to be those right after spring break.
Oh, man.
And we happened to be visiting friends in Mexico City when the world shut down. And we we all remember that as a crazy time. But I remember thinking, what's going to happen to the Airbnb? Should I leave the calendar open? What should I do? And boom, I had a guest that booked for 4 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and it was COVID related. Mm-hmm. And they, weren't going to work in their office. The wife was not going to her restaurant where she worked. And so they decided to just vacate Seattle and come out here. And they ended up staying with us a month. So that was my first guest.
Nice.
March of 2020.
And then has it stayed open since then? Did you leave all of the rest of the months open? And
yeah, so that first winter I did shut it down. Oh, and to clarify, I did have a couple guests that first fall.
Okay.
I had like 2 guests before I shut it down. And then we had March of 2020. I have shut it down for January the last couple of years. My husband has been wonderful. We have a whole system of keeping our driveway open and, dealing with ice and snow, living where we do.
Yeah.
And so after that first year, when he saw how profitable it was having the Airbnb, he said, I can probably keep it open, keep the driveway open, or at least help people troubleshoot. So we have left it open.
Okay. Yeah.
And then January, we've shut it down mainly because we just needed a break. It's a good time to declutter and clean the Airbnb as well. And so I usually try to get in and do all the maintenance and maybe have the rugs cleaned and the upholstery cleaned, that kind of thing in January. So.
And how many bedrooms is it and how many bathrooms?
It's 2 bedrooms. I can sleep up to 6 and I have 1 bathroom. Mm-hmm. And it's an odd layout. I remember when I was thinking about opening it up, I had talked to our friend Jenny Story, which I think you have had on the podcast.
No,
as
we
well.
Should get Jenny on. Okay. I'd like to do more on, because Airbnb questions that we get are, like what could we get for rent and what do we need for. So there's a lot of questions I can keep going, and Jenny would be a great resource.
Jenny's a great resource. I went to her when I was thinking about doing Airbnb, and she said, every Airbnb has something weird about it. There's no perfect Airbnb.
Right.
And people are able to not book it if it's not going to work for them. Yep. And so my layout is strange in that I have a Jack and Jill bathroom. You have to walk through 1 bedroom to get to the 2nd bedroom.
Gotcha.
So it works really well for families. Mm-hmm. If you were there with 2 couples, it would be a little awkward.
Yeah,
you might have awkward moments.
Yeah.
But they still book it.
So
they know.
Well, it's not a tent. You're not camping.
No. I had one guest leave a review that said, you might want to know that this is the, that you do have to walk. But it's doable.
Yeah.
So it's 900 square feet.
Okay.
In Latah County, I believe. I don't know if it's the whole state of Idaho. We have an accessory dwelling on our property, 900 square feet or less. So ours is exactly 900 square feet.
In terms of how often you've had it booked, you mentioned that Tim said it was really profitable. Mm-hmm. And so did you ever do what Airbnb thought you might make per month? Mm. Did you ever do that?
So that was a Jenny Story tip. She said they don't realize
how much you can actually
make. Much you can actually charge. And I, I'll just say I charge $200 a night for my 900 square feet. But I do think some of that is that we do have a unique spot. And
You've got the view.
We've got views. We're out of town. It feels very much like you're out, way far out, although we're only about 10 minutes from Moscow.
It does feel special.
It does. It feels like vacation.
Yeah.
I mean,
yes.
Or it looks like vacation.
It feels like vacation to me. Sometimes I clean it and then I go sit and have a cup of tea and enjoy the views. I mean, it's, So, just in my cursory look at Airbnb, that seems to be mostly kind of on the top of the range, and then it goes down from there. We've had several people approach us about month-to-month renting, and it just doesn't pencil out for me.
Yeah, because you make more doing that.
I make more doing that. Yeah, I could have like half of my month occupied and still make more than if I was renting it. So, is that...
No, that's really helpful. And I think, another one that we get, and this one's, you might not be able to speak to as much as, but what size is like an optimal size for an Airbnb,
Yeah. I don't think there is one. I think it can be very small. I think that most people are fine with a very small space if it's set up really well and done really tastefully and beautifully. And one of the biggest pieces of feedback I get from my guests is that they appreciate the simplicity and the lack of kitschy knickknacks and those types of things. I don't have any of that in the Airbnb. And that seems to be the comment I get the most is that we just love how simple it is. So even if you have a small space, I think if you do it really well and really tasteful, people will love it. Yeah.
So that answers the remodel question probably. So if someone's like, okay, I have a basement apartment in our house, how much work do I need to put into it? It's got the green shag carpet. It's, that's an example of what you think the remodel value brings to your nightly charge.
Well, I think we all know, I would hope that we would all know when we're talking about a space that's simple and clean and uncluttered, we kind of know what that looks like. Yeah. So, my friend Michelle always says, when in doubt, white it out. You know, like if you're not sure, just go, just like get it out of there mm-hmm. and go with something white. Not that you always have to do that. I mean, you could do that in other ways too, but I think, yeah, simplifying your space so that it's less cluttered for the eye. If you have a lot of pattern, a lot of color, like just really downshifting that. And then maybe add some colors. I mean, I'm not anti-color. I just right. think that, you know, that's a good place to start. If you don't know mm-hmm. what to do, then just kind of simplify, get things palette-wise more subtle.
How did you yeah. approach your color scheme or the decor in mm-hmm. the Airbnb?
Well, because it's a small space and we have a ton of natural light, I think I tend to like the white walls. Mm-hmm. I know that I listen to a lot of design podcasts and people are now poo-pooing the white walls.
No, it's all moody dark.
And they're called, the new thing is called a maximalist design, which I'm never going to be that.
Okay, so wait, what does that mean? The maximalist design?
Maximalist is just like getting as wild and bright and beautiful and sort of a maximum approach to everything. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, I wouldn't call it glam, but you know, a lot of like beautiful color, bright color pattern, mm-hmm. all that. And it can be done really beautifully. And I've even seen Airbnbs that I would say kind of go right. that direction, but you've got to be pretty skilled to,
yeah, to layer it all on correctly.
Yeah. In a way that doesn't offend like half of your guests.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just even stop them when they look at the picture online.
Like, yeah.
You know, that little teeny picture. It's, yeah. If it's all.
Yeah. My feeling is that when people are traveling, especially to the Palouse, you know, they're often, just wanting to relax, unwind. You know, when you're here, even for work or for play or whatever, you want a place that you can go to at the end of the day and it feels restful and it feels calm. Mm-hmm. And if you go with that whole maximalist thing, it is going to do less of that. You
yeah.
know, because house spaces are decorated definitely affect how we feel. And so.
Oh, completely.
Yeah. I'll go ahead, Jen.
I think the really neutral, really simple feels cleaner.
Mm-hmm. It feels cleaner.
Which when you're stepping into yeah. a space that's not your own, I mean,
yeah.
you want it to be
feel yeah. clean.
Which is why, I mean, I've done a fair bit of research into just hospitality and hotels. And I mean, there's a reason why they use white sheets and white yeah. bedding because mm-hmm. they look clean and it looks,
towels.
Yes, and nice white towels and all of that.
In terms of being able to clean it, you know, like if you're mm-hmm. bleaching out stuff too, white is
yes.
very practical.
It's practical. It's the way to go. So with my decor, I naturally, yeah. you know, we lived in our guest house for 5 years before we Airbnb'd it. Mm-hmm. So it is very much like what I love, which mm-hmm. is just fairly white and bright and neutral. And I have a lot of, I tend to like really natural surfaces, like natural textures. Mm-hmm. So a lot of linens and wovens and natural wood, that kind of thing on the floor.
So instead yeah. of knickknacks and kitschy, what do you have on your walls?
I don't have a lot. Let me think. I do have a piece of artwork over the bed in the master. I had artwork in there when we lived there. Hmm. And then after we moved out, we had it repainted. And of course, they filled in all the holes. And I just didn't put the artwork back up. I didn't put yeah. things back up. I put up the one piece over the bed. And then I do have a mirror. Mirrors are great.
Yep.
You know, they just yep. reflect light. They brighten up the space. They make it feel bigger. So I put a big round mirror over the mantle. And that's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. For decor or like wall decor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then any surfaces, I try to leave completely uncluttered. I have a few plants in there that... I've had to replace because I forget to water them from time to time. But plants are a great way to warm up a space to make it feel loved and cared for and a little bit like home, mm-hmm. you know, because you're not going to find a plant in a hotel, mm-hmm. but you know, a real plant in a hotel room, you're
yeah.
not going to find that.
Yeah.
But you would in an Airbnb.
Ooh, I like that.
To water it.
As long as
yeah.
Don't let it die.
I have messaged guests. I've had some long-term guests. And I said, could you put a little trickle of water on that? Yeah.
Yeah.
They love to be able to do that. So never had anyone say no.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yes.
It is good. Yeah. Well, we mentioned cleaning, like how clean the space feels. So can you share with us your cleaning routine?
Yeah. So I just cannot stress how important the cleaning is. I just think it's so important. You know, even in the hospitality world, people that invest in hotels and open hotels will tell you that that is just the number one thing. Mm-hmm. You just have to nail it. I've stayed in Airbnbs and, you know, some are cleaner than others.
Yep.
So my routine is, you know, we start with the beds, get all the bedding off, towels, anything like that, get that going and washing it. And then I started in bathrooms because I want to get that, you know, I want mm-hmm. all my energy to go into that bathroom, really scrubbing it, getting yep. it clean. I've hired people to clean and I think they do a pretty good job, but there's always little corners and things that get missed. And so I do it myself. I have two teenage daughters. I've been training them how to do it and they're learning, but I still do have to go in and look. So looking in the corners, looking in, you know, the tops of, open shelving or the tops of things where you just may or may not, you know, think to look.
Yep.
That's the kind of stuff that I always keep a wet microfiber, and I just wipe down anything and everything. During COVID, Airbnb had some really strict guidelines about cleaning. And it was funny. I looked at those and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm pretty much doing that already. So I think I'm good.
You're covering.
Just wiping down, you know, doorknobs and light switches and, you know, the places where people are going to touch things and all that. So, and then I just move through, once I get a space cleaned, once I get all the beds done, get all the textiles, you know, done, then floors are last. And then I basically mop my way out the door so that I don't have to keep going. You don't want to go in and out of a space a bunch of times after you've already cleaned it. One of the things I think is commonly missed is like windows. If you've got a glass door, which I do, you know, little fingerprints, that kind of thing. People often, in ones I've stayed at, I don't have a vent hood in mind, but like a vent hood like that, just wiping down the greasy bits. If you have open shelving, I see you guys in your kitchen here have open shelving. I have open shelving in my Airbnb. Any bowls that are up there that maybe haven't been used for a few guests, you know, pulling those down, you want to make sure those are dusted out. All of that. You don't want any hair on your bed linen.
Oh man. Or in the bathroom anywhere.
Or hair. Just don't do hair. I love Norwex. I know that they do, you know, there's reps and parties and that kind of thing. Norwex is fantastic.
So that's what you use for your product.
Yes, their rags too.
I've never tried the rag.
Incredible. And they have some like dusting wands and things if you want to get up on light fixtures. And now I'm not doing all those things every time, but I'm definitely taking a look at all of it.
Right.
To
make sure. Okay. So back to the Norwex rags though, because the microfiber ones from Costco, you know, the yellow ones that you can get in a big thing.
I think Walmart has a big bale of them that you can buy.
Which is great to begin with. But then I feel like after you used them, maybe even just once, you can't unget the hair out of them even after they go through the wash. And then I feel like it's not actually grabbing the stuff. Like when you're in the bathroom, getting the hair off of the surface, if it gets damp, then that hair is glued on and it's just, it's tough to get it out.
They're interesting. And I've used those a lot and I don't hate them.
No, I don't hate them either.
But they're not as, they seem to almost be too grippy to the point where you cannot release things out of them when you're done. They don't, what Norwex will tell you is they don't have the same number of fibers. So if you took one and completely unraveled it out so that it was a single string, it would be like just a fraction as long as say Norwex has so much fiber like woven into it. That's one difference. Also Norwex has silver, like silver is woven into the microfiber. And so it has an antimicrobial properties to it. So you can, it will grip like crazy. It'll get everything up, but then you can also rinse it really good, lay it out. And then it's like self sanitizing.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah. But their floor mop is hands down the best floor mop I've ever, there's a couple that I use. I use a Mopnado spin mop, which there's tons of brands of those on Amazon. I love
spin mop.
And that's a good, and I will, my hot tip with the spin mop is get a lot of mop heads because those are microfiber and they tend to wear out. So you use them for a month or two and they just don't work as well. Grab a fresh one. They're not very expensive.
That's great.
The mop heads. And then for getting up dry things. So one of the first things, what I have my daughters do before we go into the bathroom is we take one of the Norwex dry mops because it'll grip everything and we go through, it gets up every bit of hair before we step in there and use any liquid, because once you start spraying things around and it can turn to mud or you
and
get
those little
like,
balls of
and your dust hair and actually is going to just stick to whatever it is on if you get it wet and you don't get to wipe it. So we'll go in and just get all the hair up first. Before
you actually
start spraying any liquids.
So then what do you use in terms of like the deep clean bathroom? So you use the Norwex rags. What's your cleaning spray?
Oh, I have I'll use like Method brand or I'll use Mrs. Meyers. I love the smells.
That's what I was going to ask. You go for a certain smell.
Yeah. And then like the real eco-friendly folks really will tell you those aren't eco-friendly, but they sure do smell good. And I have used another one another cleaner that I really like is Salcedes, which is Dr. Bronner's, and it kind of is multi-purpose. So you can put it into water and you can mop with it. You know, you can dilute it and put it in water, mop with it. You can put it in a spray bottle and spray with it.
Oh, nice.
It smells pretty nice. It has actually a very subtle, you don't even barely smell the odor. If you're worried about that, you know, I have had guests ask me about, they have, you know, different health concerns with different cleaning products. They'll ask me if I use dryer sheets, which I don't, because those kind of perfumes and dyes and things will really affect their health. And so if that's something that you really want to be sensitive about, then yeah, Dr. Bronner's is a great one. There's a new company out. Goodness, I can't think of it off the top of my head, but there's a new company out I've seen that is touting their eco-friendly, like low odor types of cleaners. So you can do that too.
Yeah. So you mentioned washing. So then do you mind sharing what you do for your washing? So like, what soaps are you using with your linens? How are you making sure those get super clean?
Yeah, super clean.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't say that I am a laundry guru. I don't know that perfect way to do things, but I do use hot water when I'm using the sheets. I'm not afraid of bleach. I'll do an extra rinse cycle if I use bleach because you don't want them to smell like bleach. Norwex has a really great detergent. It's expensive, but you need one squirt to do a load. Oh, nice. And so it'll, like, a bottle of that will last me a couple of months, which is, and so I think it's a $34 bottle, but it'll last me 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
So sometimes longer, depending on how busy things are.
Yeah.
I like it because it gets things so clean. You want to clean your microfibers in that because that's another thing with microfibers, going back to those, that if you are just using, you know, the Tide Pods or whatever, that soap, or definitely don't use dryer sheets or any fabric softeners, it'll build up on the microfibers and they become less effective. And so I like the Norwex cleaner for that. Man, Norwex should really send me a box of stuff.
Honestly,
sponsored by,
it really wasn't.
It wasn't.
No.
But I have a lot of respect for Norwex.
That's great to hear. Job. I actually haven't tried any of the Norwex. Have you?
Okay.
I know.
Yeah. They're glass. They have a glass wrap. Okay. That's another thing.
Okay.
I have giant windows.
Yeah, gotta try some.
I have giant windows in my Airbnb and I have even bigger ones in my house. And I have struggled to figure out a way to wash them.
Yes.
And you can use the Norwex mop as a window cleaning kit because you can just get the glass. They have a glass cleaning attachment that you put on there. And it is like no glass cleaner. No streaks. It's just water. You use it. So I have two of the mops because I have an Airbnb and a house. So I get both of them and I'll put the floor, kind of the wet floor mop attachment on one and then the glass cleaning attachment on the other. And I'll go wet, wet, wet. And then I'll go over it dry, dry, dry. And then it's just beautiful.
Oh, fantastic.
And I have giant windows. I mean, you've been in my living room. I've got really tall and they will go all the way to the top of those windows if you extend out your mop completely.
Which especially if you're looking at the view. And you're like, oh, look.
Yes.
Kind of
have the clean glass.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is hard around here. Well, especially on the outside. Do you use them on the exterior too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. I use it on exterior and interior. Another thing is just the sprayway glass cleaner. If you like a glass cleaner, which I do keep it because I'll use it for mirrors and different things. Little fingerprints on the front of the stove or whatever. The sprayway is the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's great. What about organizing?
Okay.
With our last.
I've been doing some of that lately.
Yay. I know. Let's hit it because in terms of Airbnbs, if people are either using their own space or a second home or their own home, it all, you know, helps.
Yeah. So in an Airbnb, it's interesting because having lived in our Airbnb for 5 years and then I essentially didn't have to take much with me because I was moving 65 feet away into my house. So our house was built right next door. And so, you know, I really could have left everything in there with the exception of our clothes and toothbrushes. But I just went through the space and kind of just emptied it out completely. And just try to think about, you know, when people are in here, what would bless them? What would they like? What would they not like to run into? You know, just I don't think that people, I'm just thinking of myself, would not want to open cupboards and doors and things and see stuff crammed.
No.
You want to just get as minimal as possible. But also, I reached out to my guests, especially the ones early on, and just said, is there anything that is not in here that you think would be helpful? And I did get great feedback from people. You know, I had a guest said, you know, if you put a lamp by that chair or so, you know, I'm pointing to a chair, you guys in the corner.
Yep.
You put a lamp there, then we could sit there and read or do needlework or whatever. But I couldn't because it was kind of dark in that corner, you know, so I immediately went out and got a floor lamp. But so I pared down the kitchen. That's all to say, the point being, I pared down the kitchen to just what I thought were the essentials. And then over time, I've slowly added some things back in.
Right. Do people cook a fair bit in your Airbnb?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because we're a little bit out of town, I like to have it set up well enough that people would not have to leave to go eat because they couldn't find all the things they need. And so I've even had guests, you know, beforehand say, hey, do you have a big soup pot or do you have this or that? And I'll happily get that for them. I always tell people that I have a completely stocked kitchen. I do a ton of cooking myself. And so I can run anything up.
Yeah.
I had a guest that needed to do a big dinner party. They were going to have 12 people over in my 900 square foot Airbnb. They asked permission and I said yes. And so I put together a whole kit for them, you know, candles, extra flatware, all the things that they needed, linens, all of that. And that worked out well. Yeah. And they were grateful for that. So I don't know if I'm getting to organizing really, but just that just keeping things as minimal as possible, but also thinking about your guests and what they'll need and being willing to accommodate based on what a guest is in the area for and what they want. And I'll have guests that won't use the kitchen at all the whole time they're there.
Yeah. Mm.
Or at least they clean it so well when they left that I
didn't. You can't tell.
I couldn't tell.
Right.
But yeah, I think generally, I mean, we all know this, you just tend to accumulate things over time.
It's so true.
And you get more and more and more. And going from 900 square feet into our home now, which is over 3,000 square feet, I think I thought, well, I'm just going to have tons of room and I'll just put everything away and then I'll have all these empty cabinets because my house is so much bigger now than it used to be. Mm-hmm. But man, it took like 18 months and everything was just full.
What's that principle that, you know, whether it's time, you know, so whatever amount of time you have, the work expands to fill it or, you know, I think the same thing is so true with whatever space you have, you fill it.
Yeah. Well, and one of the mistakes I made, I think, I was just reflecting on this recently because I got rid of so much, is that when I moved into our big house, I felt like I needed to make it feel like a home so quickly that I really rushed out and went and got a lot of things that would make it feel like our home. So I wanted things on the walls and I wanted, you know, pillows on all the furniture and I wanted all the things. And, I probably went a little too far. Now I'm moving a lot of that out. I'm not necessarily getting rid of all of it.
Okay.
So I'm putting some of it away just to see if I need to bring it back into the space. I follow a lady on Instagram. I can't think of her name. Mike Willen Smith, I think. She wrote a book called, The Cozy Minimalist.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a great book. She introduced a concept that I had never thought of and I think is so helpful. And she just did a little Instagram story on it last week. And she called it what did she call it? It was like letting a room breathe. So what she does, she'll go into a room and she'll take literally all the decor out, all of the extras. So she'll leave like large furniture pieces. Maybe if you have, you know, window coverings, she'll take everything out and she'll let it sit for 24 hours. And then she'll walk back in there. And she'll just move the things into the other room. She's not getting rid of anything.
Right.
She just moves into the other room. And then she walks back in there 24 hours later. And she just slowly adds a few things. And then she kind of takes her time adding the things back in. And then into her, you know, she just kind of knows when it reaches the point where it feels like a nice room, where it feels like restful and decorated and cozy and minimal at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I tried that in my living room last week. And it was brilliant. It was really cool. Yeah. Like I took everything out. Well, and the other thing is once you get everything out of there, you immediately want to clean it.
Yeah.
So I removed all the pillows, all the lamps, all the things that I had up. And I don't have a ton of things, but I got everything out of there, let the room breathe 24 hours, cleaned it really good. And then slowly started adding some things back in. And I probably got rid of, you know, I can't think exactly how many things, but a fair amount of things didn't go back in. So
was it surprising what you kept out? What were some of the things that you ended up paring down?
Books were one of the things that I pared down. Okay. So I love, you know, I've always loved that look of the rainbow edible books, you know, where they do them. And that's really fun. I did that in my bookshelf.
Yeah.
And then I took all those books out and I put in just a few. I just didn't put in as many. Now, one of the reasons I had them the way they were is I thought that's where I need to store my books. I have a lot of books.
Yeah.
But then I realized there were other places in the house I had already book storage that I could use. And I got rid of some. And, you know, it all worked. It all helped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I know we talked a little bit before about Dana K. White, her book. And she's funny. She always says, never, never, never empty out a whole closet or a whole room. That's a horrible way. And now it's bad for her because she kind of has sort of that ADD mind. Like she just gets, she'll just empty it all out and then get distracted doing something
and
else.
You're stuck.
Then she's got piles and, you know, she's like, I just can't, she knows she can't see it through to completion if she takes that approach.
Right.
And so you have to think about that too. If you're the kind of person that you know that you're not going to get that done, then
just do a drawer at a time.
Then you just do a drawer at a time. But even with the Michael and Smith perspective of letting a room, I mean, you can do that with one bookcase. You can take everything out of the one bookcase, just leave it right there and then put it all back in. You don't have to empty the whole room.
Well, and I do think that's a good point, because I think bookcases, I think on top of hutches, or if you have one of the kitchens where the cabinets don't go to the ceiling and you have that funky space.
Yeah.
I think there's an open space, and I think there's this weird need to put something on it, like a looks, you know, or that can be a thing, or you really do need to put something on it because it's such a big space, but trying to figure out what to put on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The cabinets that don't go all the way up, man, I hope builders stop doing that.
Oh my word. It's wasted space. It's just wasted space. It and then is. If anything dust up collector. There is a dust, but it's a greasy dust collector.
Oh, it's not. It's not good. I mean, I don't think in new construction they're doing that anymore. Are they? You would know because you're looking into more homes.
Goodness, I don't think so, but I now that you're saying that, I need to go look at listings and see.
Yeah,
because I'm not 100% sure.
I mean, you know, it's so easy. All your builder has to do is bring the sheetrock down to that point. You can even do that in a home that's already done, where they've already done that, and you have that open space up there. Just have your builder just build a soffit to fill it all in.
Yeah, then you don't have it there. But then you know, if you've got that ability to just knock it up and get a little more extra storage. Get taller cupboard storage.
Yeah.
You know. It's beautiful too.
Draws the eye. Yeah. It makes the room feel big.
Our kitchen, we have that one wall down by our range that has double. So we have, you know, we have cabinets right above the countertop, whatever the standard height is. And then we have another on top of that. And some designers will tell you, it's so stupid, you shouldn't do that. I mean, I listened to this design podcast. They were going off about that. Like, that's just a horrible idea. I love it because I keep a lot of things up there that are seasonal. Mm-hmm. You know, I do a lot of hospitality. So all the extra wine glasses, all the big dishes, the things that I'm going to pull down maybe twice a year, they can go up there. And I have stools at my island that are perfectly tall enough that I can drag one over, hop up on there and grab whatever I need.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it, but some people, I suppose if you had trouble getting up on a stool, that would be a bad idea.
Right. If you're, it depends on your needs and what you're putting up there. It makes no sense if it's every meal you need to grab something down.
We're tall people, you know, we're fairly tall people, so we can just reach for what we need. But
no, I have to drag the stool over fairly frequently for whatever. I'm kidding. But it's still worth it. Okay. So we have just like a minute probably left before we run out of camera space.
Okay.
If we haven't already, but, but I was going to ask you, what is an essential piece that you think, you know, one thing for either organizing or cleaning would be your essential starting point or helpful starting point?
Like a tool?
It could be a tool, a tip.
Mm. Oh, Catherine.
I know.
This one's hard.
Flying off. How do you pick? What's been helpful to you this January?
I would recommend Dana K. White's book, Decluttering for the Rest of Us. It's so good. If you just need like a little inspo to get going and someone to walk you through the process, I'd say that's the way to go. And then my favorite tool. Well, I think I've talked Norwex enough. The spin mop. Oh, and a Shark cordless vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it an upright? Is it handheld?
Which one? It can be either. Okay. It's very customizable. It'll do hardwoods. It'll do carpets. Mm. It has a handheld
capabilities. Shark,
Yeah. I have two
cordless.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, I'm all about the vacuum. I mean, if you can vacuum out a drawer, if you could vacuum out, you know, anything.
And you're much more likely to grab that vacuum if you don't have to drag a cord around with you and look at where you need to plug it in. So this one, you keep it plugged in the closet and then it charges up and it'll do my whole house 3,000 square feet because I have all hardwoods. And it'll do the whole house without losing a battery. So it's really efficient. And you're just so much, I mean, I can grab that thing and just do the kitchen after dinner or under the dining room table. Mm-hmm. If I had to get a cord out, I would not do it. So
makes
sense.
So funny.
Yeah.
It's those little hangups. It's a big deterrent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's what stops you from doing something.
Yeah. So I've talked a few people into grabbing that.
That's
perfect. A good one.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for all of the tips and the inspiration and Airbnb knowledge.
Yeah, you bet.
We'll see ya.
Thanks for joining us. Like, share, subscribe. We'll see you next week.